like to go ahead and start with one of the two readings. I'm going to do both readings that I have prepared for you today. The first is a scripture reading. It comes from Mark chapter 12, verses 30 through 31. And by request, I will be reading from the King James Version today. And thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. May we have blessing and understanding to the reading of those words. I also want to share with you a small excerpt from the book Moving Beyond Individualism in Pastoral Care Counseling. It rolls off the tongue, that book title. It's by Barbara J. McClure. And she says, "Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but need to abandon it." I'm going to ask Doug if he would start us off with the song, please, sir.
I'm going to do something a little different from what I usually do. I'm here with y'all. I'm not going to play original songs. I'm going to play some traditional things. I'll drop the cross. Jordan. I'm only going over home. I'm only going over home.
Watching online, if you would just leave where you are watching from. It's always fun for our small community church here in Greensboro, North Carolina, to know who else is joining us for our gathering. And also, if you have thoughts or questions about the message today, feel free to leave those, and I will respond to those about an hour or less than an hour after the service. My message this morning is entitled, Anti-Choice is Anti-Christian. On Friday, the Supreme Court of the United States made a ruling that ended Roe v. Wade. In making that ruling, they took away the rights of a majority of people in the United States. In making that ruling, they betrayed what the Declaration of Independence calls the unalienable right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. In making that ruling, they relegated an already marginalized group even further into being treated as second-class citizens. They brazenly ignored the oath of their office, which is to administer justice, and instead administered the autocratic desires of a particular group of elected officials and the majority of people and citizens they represent. They used intentionally corrupted understanding of Christianity to make a distinctly unloving and unjust decision, which is decidedly unchristian. The thing is, even the very conservative Southern Baptist Church has known for most of its existence that anti-choice stance is an anti-Christian stance. As I pointed out several Sundays ago, got to remember that the Southern Baptist Convention passed resolutions in 1971, 1974, and 1976, which endorsed access to abortion, going as far as to say that the government should play a limited role in the issue. The thing is, while abortion just wasn't that big of a deal for evangelicals, well, racism and white supremacy and desegregation were. They just realized that they couldn't run on those platforms. So after years of calculating, they found the thing that they could win the South with and divide the masses with: abortion. As Methodist minister David Barnhart has pointed out, the unborn are a convenient group of people to advocate for. They never make demands of you. They are morally uncomplicated. Unlike the incarcerated, addicted, or chronically poor, they don't resent your condescension or complain that you're not politically correct. Unlike widows, they don't ask you to question patriarchy. Unlike orphans, they don't need money, education, or child care. Unlike aliens, they don't bring all that racial, cultural, and religious baggage that you just like. They allow you to feel good about yourself without any work at creating or maintaining relationships. And when they are born, you can't forget about them because they cease to be unborn. He goes on to say you can love the unborn and advocate for them without substantially changing your own wealth, power, or privilege, without reimagining social structures, apologizing, or making reparations to anyone. They are, in short, perfect people to love if you want to claim you love Jesus but actually dislike people who breathe. He concludes saying, prisoners, immigrants, the sick, the poor, widows, orphans, all the Greeks that are specifically mentioned in the Bible, they all get thrown under the bus for the unborn. That's the thing. Being anti-choice is almost always framed as a Christian perspective, but it simply is not. As I've said before, if anything, it's the opposite of what the Bible says. The Bible has very little to directly say about abortion. And if anything, it says that life begins at first breath. That's in Genesis. And it values a mother's life over the fetus's life. That's in Exodus. I've also reminded you that you really ought not to be using books that are thousands of years old to be making healthcare decisions. But if you want to use your Bible to inform your thoughts on abortion, there is one biblical perspective I actually very strongly believe that you should use. The overarching message of what the Christian faith is supposed to be about. It's the biblical hermeneutic of love. As Mark records, Jesus is saying from today's readings, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There shall be no other laws greater than this." So let's take that core understanding, that core question, that question of is it loving, and look at some facts about abortion. As I covered several weeks ago, it is a fact. It is a fact that for men, if they choose so, their sex life does not risk their future. However, lack of access to safe abortions prevents women from that same reality. Among other things, not having your sex life risk your plans for your future makes a person more fully capable of having life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So if the question is it loving? Then I ask you, is it loving to deny anyone that kind of hope, happiness, and future? It is a fact that legal abortions recognize a woman as a person rather than having fewer rights than the fetus. If the question is it loving? Then I ask you, is it loving to deny anyone that kind of recognition and the rights that come along with it? It is a fact that access to safe abortions prevent medical harm and even death. The fact is that women are about 14 times more likely to die during or after giving birth to a live baby than they are from complications of an abortion. If the question is it loving? Then I ask you, is it loving to deny anyone care that would have saved their lives? It is a fact that people who receive abortions are less likely to have mental health issues than those who, to whom it is denied. So if the question is it loving? Then I ask you, is it loving to deny access to a future with better mental health? It is a fact that people who are denied abortions are more likely to become unemployed, to be on public welfare, to be below the poverty line, and to become victims of domestic violence. If the question is it loving? Then I ask you, is it loving to deny anyone the kind of care that helps ensure a life that is not so unnecessarily full of life-altering struggles? It is a fact that banning abortion creates a system that favors the rich who, I promise you, will continue to have safe abortions. And because of the economic disparity in the U.S., that also makes this a race issue. If the question is it love? And I believe that biblically that is the question that matters. Is it loving? Then I ask you, is it loving to deny people access to safe and needed health care based on their financial status or their race? The fact is that Jesus primarily taught about love, equality, justice, compassion. That means that those of us who understand ourselves as followers of his teachings must recognize that none of us will be fully free until we learn that our humanity is all tied up in treating others humanely. And not only that, but also then acting out of that understanding, calling out injustices every time we see them, working towards the equality of all people, asking the question, is it loving? And doing the work that it takes to ensure that no one is treated as a second-class citizen, that no one is used as a pawn in the powerful political chess match, that no one is put into the place of choosing between risking their health and happiness so that they won't become a felon. Doing the work, ensure that no one is left to pursue an unsafe abortion in back alleys where the mortality rate skyrockets. The fact is, access to a safe abortion is a question of religious freedom, which makes lack of access to safe abortion a First Amendment right issue. In that, it restricts the ability of Christians to follow the teachings of Jesus. You see, central to the teachings of Jesus is our call as followers to help the poor, to help the marginalized, to help the sick. Well, the fact is that 75% of the folks who seek out abortion are low-income folks. Ending access to safe abortion hurts the poor. It does not help them. Jesus taught us to help them. So it's an issue of religious freedom. Restricting access to safe abortion disproportionately impacts marginalized communities, including the people of color and the LGBTQ folks. As followers of the teachings of Jesus, that is the opposite of what we are called to do. So it is an issue of religious freedom. And study after study has shown that the lack of access to safe abortions can put a woman's physical and mental health at risk, and even carrying pregnancy to term can be a health risk for some women. Jesus taught us to care for the sick. Laws that ensure more women will be dealing with physical and mental illnesses are the opposite of that, so it is an issue of religious freedom. So let's talk about a few things we can do now. If you live in a state where abortion is still illegal, like we do in North Carolina, volunteer to be an escort at a local clinic, like my wife and I do. We were actually just there yesterday. And if that's physically difficult, you can donate funds or needed supplies. As a matter of fact, we could use some screen. Educate yourselves and others. It's not enough to get angry. Get smart. For all, Proverbs tells us that wisdom is the thing that God delights in daily. The more we know and the more we educate those around us, the more likely we are to have a nation that actually understands this issue. As a matter of fact, take what you learn and educate your elected officials through phone calls and letters. And right now, possibly the most important thing you can do is contact your Attorney General's office. Ask them to commit to not persecuting folks around the issue of abortion. And don't take no for an answer. Keep contacting them. Don't let up until they make the pledge. Several around the nation already have. Go to every rally that you can go to. There will be plenty. I attended one downtown the very day that the Supreme Court overruled Roe versus Wade. Go, because the bigger the rally, the more politicians and the more outlets will pay attention to it. Go, because the speakers will likely teach you something. Go, because you love people and want to follow your call to love your neighbor as yourself. They are. And if you can't, go donate to the groups that organize those events. Like I said, donate. Donate to the organizations that will not only be working towards righting this wrong, but also those who will be helping folks secure safe abortions and who are working towards educating the public. And as I always come back to, vote. 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 Not only that, but help others to get registered and help them get to the polls. You see, the majority, the vast majority of Americans believe in the right to reproductive choice. But we haven't fully done the work needed to elect officials that will represent the will of the American people. This midterm election is probably the most important midterm in the history of our nation. Get out and vote. The question is it loving? The anti-choice stance is not only not loving, it's downright dangerous. It's controlling. It preys on the poor. It is marginalizing. It puts women's health at risk. It is immoral, inhumane, and anti-choice. To borrow from Welsh poet Thomas, do not go gentle into that night. Rage. Rage against the dying of the light. We, you and I, must do whatever it takes to protect the ones we love, because that is the loving thing to do. And as followers of Jesus, it is not simply what we are called to do, but it is what we must do until justice, equality, and love. Amen. Doug, can I ask you to play another song for us if you would, sir? Thank you.
Let me hear get a different tune for the last one. All right, y'all know this. Okay, I think we need a good sing along to lift our spirits a little bit here. So, when the chorus comes around, hope you'll join.
I'll fly away. just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy will never end.
Today, for our time, this prayer and meditation, I'm actually going to read something someone else wrote. It's a blessing. My Reverend Julia Hamilton, and she titled abortion as a blessing. Abortion is not just a deeply personal choice and a fundamental right, but it can also be a blessing. It is a life-saving medical procedure. It is a choice that can help heal from violence. It is a doorway to a different life. It is a blessing to so many people who, for whatever reason, are not in a position to have a child. So I say thank you and bless you to all of those doctors and nurses and clinicians who have provided care, often at great personal risk. I say thank you and bless you to all of those who have stood at the doors of clinics and escorted patients with love and compassion in the face of hate and shame. I say thank you and bless you to all the friends, partners, and family members who have supported loved ones through the process. I say thank you and bless you to all the elected officials, activists, and organizers who fight year after year to keep abortion legal, safe, and available to all who need it. And I say thank you and bless you to all of you here today who have had an abortion. You are loved and supported in your choice and in the life that you live today because of that choice. As we go forth from this moment and out into this beautiful and heartbreaking world, we are renewed by the strength we have found in one another. We will fight shame with love. We will fight violence with compassion. We will fight language of domination with songs of liberation and grace. And we know that we are not singing alone. Amen. And I leave you with this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know happiness and love throughout your life. And may your actions and words share that happiness and love with everyone you meet. Go now in love. And go in peace.